Blog Talk Radio.
Then I am left with all this love and all these dreams and no place to put them.
Welcome to a special edition of Daytime After Dark at noon, West Coast time. If you want to call in for a very special guest, Larry Pendexter. I think I said it right. Well, you guys, you know him from, you know, GH, Days of Our Lives, General Hospital. He was a kind of crazy doctor. I love that storyline. I thought it was great. Well, maybe not the part about crazy. Well, here he is, everyone.
How are you, Carly?
Hi, Larry. No, yeah, like I said in the intro, yeah, I loved it when you were on
DH.
Thank
you so much.
I want to be honest, you almost got hit. For me, you know, I hit the TV when you were being a little bad. But I understand, you know, like, is he kidding? And like, I expect the TV to answer me, and it won't. Because, you know, but you were so unbelievable on ZH. You were incredible. And when you died, I was happy but sad at the same moment. Because, I mean...
Well, we want to be, you know, when you're playing a villain on a television show, you want to be the guy that people love to hate. So, thank you. I guess I did my job.
Well, you did. And you had awesome scenes with Billy Warlock, who's been on the show also. And also, you were cured by Jason. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm like, awesome. So, how was that experience... You know, coming on there, you know, at first we didn't think you were going to be a little bad guy, but it turned into that. So how was it going?
Well, it was, I got a phone call from Jill, who is the executive producer, and Mark Teschner, who's the casting director, and I'd worked with them before. And they'd called and said, would you be willing to do, you know, a short run over the summer? We have a character that we think you'd be great for, but also, and it was specifically because they'd gotten a lot of, they'd gotten a lot of heat about the storyline that they had with the kid taking out the Billy Warlock character. And so they really wanted to kind of change the backstory on that, and they needed a device to do it. And I was the device. It was a great experience. I had a great time, got to work with a lot of the people on the show. It was a great part. Like you said, it started off as seeming like a kind, considerate doctor, and then the more it unfolded, the worse he was. And then you got these flashbacks that we recreated from the original stuff to kind of explain his backstory and how bad he really was. It was real fun. It was really, really fun.
I mean, you were incredible, and yeah, I mean, because it was controversial, what, you know, having Michael think he killed his father, and, you know, being such a young little guy, you know, at 8 or 9 or 10, yeah, so I remember General Hospital got heat for this, because, and this was before Twitter, Facebook, you know, so really all the fans could do was, you know, call the comment line and, write letters and say, wait a moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, you know, and I'm glad they brought you in to kind of fix it, because a lot of the fans were happy that it got fixed. And the fans were happy that they got listened to on that, but I still think I did not want you to leave at all, because I just thought, you know, there was so much depth to your character, and I felt like, you know, they should have had you on for like a little more, because I just felt like, what is this?
Well,
real
I think Carly, if people had, as is usually the case with soap operas, if people had responded to my enough fervor one way or the other, then perhaps they would have extended it a little bit. You know, my friend John Lindstrom had come on as a short-term character, and then he'd expanded, and they kept him on, and then he played two roles, and they spun off Port Charles, and he went to that. You know, so it just depends on how the character resonates with the people who are watching the show. In this case, I think you know, it was the right amount of time for the doc to do his dirty deeds and then move on. You know, it was enough time. And quite frankly, as much as I like doing soap operas, for me, it's never been like my forte. Like I don't think I'm as good at it as some of the other people who traffic in it, you know, the Wally Kurtz and John and other people are like, they really know how to do it. And Jason, not Jason, what's his name? Who plays Jason?
Steve.
I mean, he's great at it and knows how to do it and can do 45 pages in a day. And I was always struggling just trying to get through the day to try to do all that work. I mean, and Kelly Monaco, who was at the time doing Dancing with the Stars, was, she'd be off dancing and doing dance rehearsal and then like run onto the set. We'd shoot her stuff and then she'd run off to do some more dance rehearsal and she'd run back on to do the set. She was amazing. It was like that woman had more stamina than any five people I knew. It was amazing.
Well, and it was. And, you know, I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying because, you know, like, yeah, I'm friends with Wally and I always tease him because right now he's on Days of Our Life and in a hospital. And,
right.
You know, I always give him a hard time. I'm like, how in the heck do you remember, you know, because sometimes he goes to the 8th in the morning and then Days by Tabitha. And he told me once. Yeah, he told me once, and it happened on tape that he was in the Coleman living room. And he goes, oh, weird, you know, something about the Kyriakis, and they did not guess it. They did. And I'm like rewinding it, like, so many. I'm like, no, I didn't just hear what, and yeah, I mean, so, but, yeah, I just thought it was funny. I mean, I still think it's funny,
well,
I've been doing
Days of Our Lives occasionally as the their go-to priest when they need a priest, and I see Wally there, you know, and we've known each other since his UCLA days, so it's been really fun to reconnect with people who also have done the other show, and Greg
Vaughn.
What's Greg's last name? Greg. Pardon?
Greg Vaughn.
Greg Vaughn. Yes. Greg
yeah.
Vaughn, who's gone back and forth between both shows, and I've worked with him on both shows. So it's been kind of fun to kind of revisit everybody every once in a while. It's a perfect job, you know, get to show up.
Well,
and do a
I mean, I love it when you're on the soaps, but oh, you will, of course you will. You have been on every primetime show. Okay, not every primetime show, but lately, oh my goodness, because I remember you on The Facts of Life. I remember you on Growing Pains. And Sledgehammer.
Yeah, I've been doing it for a very long time.
Yeah, well, I know, but you look so young, so, you know, don't worry
about
it.
You're kind. I've been very, very lucky and fortunate. I'm trying to knock some wood right now that I've gotten to earn my living and be an actor for ungodly years and get to work on a variety of stuff. And that's kind of why, you know, I didn't want to have a job digging ditches. So I got a job that allowed me to do a lot of stuff and play a lot of different characters and kind of travel and do crazy fun stuff all over the place. And it was great. You know, it's been a great experience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one year you were doing Sips, Happy Days, Facts of Life, and then you went over to Days. But how was, I mean, come on, you were on three iconic shows in one year.
Yeah.
How was all of them?
At the time, I don't think that we thought of them as iconic shows. I mean, you know, looking back now, yes, Facts of Life and these shows kind of took on a life of their own. But at the time, they were, you know, they were certainly popular, and we had a good time, and it was, you know, it was really fun. But I don't know that we thought that they were, you know, going to last the test of time, and yet they have. You know, so that's been kind of fun. My kids laugh when there's a repeat on. Our TiVo is set with my name in it, so every once in a while it'll record something, you know, that they didn't know that I'd done. And, you know, and they'll just be laughing and just going like, are you kidding me? What is that? And I said, well, I played a Chippendales dancer. And they're like, what? Or, you know, or any number of things. It's very funny. When I was about 4 or 5 years ago, I did a television show called The Hard Times of R.J. Berger. And the writers, I guess, had seen the episode of me as a Chippendales dancer, and then wrote in an arc for the character, for my character who was the dad to the lead character, to have been a former male stripper. So we actually did an episode where I kind of came out of retirement in order to, you know, humorously save my son's bacon. So it was pretty funny. I was looking at it. I said, well, this is great. My career has come full circle. Only I'm about 25 pounds heavier and not nearly as limber.
Well, yeah. you know, so, I mean, when you were doing Happy Days, how was mm-hmm. that? Because, I mean, when you did Happy Days, how was that? Because that...
Well, it was enough. You know, at the time, it was like the number one show in the country, or number two show or three, something like that, top five, with Laverne Shirley, I think, was on at that point. I had a really, you know, I was very fortunate. I had a really great experience. Gary Marshall just passed away recently. Was incredibly kind to me. It was funny at the time. It's different now for a lot of actors, for all of us. But at the time, getting a job was a little bit simpler and more streamlined, because the power of doing a show was really in the hands of the producer at that time. It wasn't the network or the studio or anything like that. At that time, if you were a big producer, you could pretty much say, I want to hire this person, and this is the person I'm going to hire. And they didn't have to go through the, you know, the jump through rings in order to get approvals, and which is the process now. So really, I was a young actor. I was 22, I think. I got the audition. I went into the casting director's office, Bobby something, I can't remember his name right now. I read with him. He said, okay, that was pretty good. Let's go across the street. So we walked across the alley at the lot, which is Paramount, walked up the stairs to Gary Marshall's office. He knocked on the door. I came in and goes, hey, how are you? It's nice to see you. You know, I sat down, I did the reading again with Bobby. Gary goes, that's great. Okay, good. Let's get him. That's great. Let's hire him. And that was it. You know, that was it. It was like Bobby had seen me do something, decided I was the right guy, came in, read for Gary. That was it. So, you know, the next day I was shooting, you know, being Jenny Piccolo's evil boyfriend. And the people were really great. That's the first time I met Billy Warlock. He was on the show at the time. He had replaced somebody, I can't remember. And the girl playing Jenny, whose name I'm totally blanking on because I'm old and I have a hard time remembering names now, you know, still Facebook friends and still somebody that I catch up with occasionally. There was a really, really nice group of people to work with. Henry was wonderful. It was really, really fun. And it was also, you know, as a young actor, it was kind of crazy to be around all these people who really were, you know, at that time, you know, the number one show, a big hit, you know, and I stayed in touch with Gary over the years. I ended up working at what's now the Gary Marshall Theater, which was the Falcon Theater at the time, with my theater company.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I did Gary called me and I did a reading of, they were putting together, and it's now moving forward, they're putting together a musical version of Pretty Woman. So we did a reading of that, and that's now, they're doing it. Actually, it'll be going into Chicago in the spring. I'm not doing it.
Go do it.
I'm a little too old for it, but the, uh, but they, yeah, I read the Richard Gere part and sang and had a great time, and it got picked up and they developed it some more. Brian Adams is doing the music now, and they're planning May in Chicago, and then Broadway in the fall. Yeah.
Oh my God! No, that movie was good. I mean, Gary Marshall was, whatever he did, whatever he touched, he, made everything. I mean, Pretty Woman.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. I've seen it 2,000 times. I know that movie, and I was a teenager when it came out. And I go
right.
to my mom after seeing it the first time. I go, okay, I know what I want to do. And she goes, okay, what? And she would, I'm like, I'm going to be a prostitute.
Lord.
Like Julia Roberts' character. And she goes, she's like, oh. She goes, no, you're not. I go, why not?
No.
It looks like fun. And my mom goes, yeah, it does look like fun, but,
movie, yeah.
Yeah, Zillia's character was lucky,
Well, see,
I
think the other part of it, Carly, is that I don't know if you know this story, but the original script was very, very dark. Very, very, I mean, I think in the original script she dies and he leaves
what?
Her and then she kills herself. It's just, oh, yeah, it's terrible. The original script, and then, but Gary's genius was that when Disney or Touchstone, I guess at the time, hired him to come in and take a look at the script, He innately saw that really the story was like Cinderella, right? It was really, a princess fairy tale kind of story. And he was able to soften it in such a way and smartly that you never even think of her as a prostitute after the first 15 minutes of the movie. I mean, from that point on, she's just
mm-hmm.
this young, beautiful girl who's falling in love with this rich guy who's slowly melting and not being such a jerk anymore. In the Gary, when I sat down with him, we were talking about Pretty Woman.
Mm-hmm.
He was telling me stories about it. And he said that he had, he originally, what he did was he was doing screen tests and Julia had done something and they asked him to screen test her and he did it. And he did all the screen tests with the sound turned off. Like people would do their dialogue, but when he would replay it, and run it, he would turn the dialogue off and to see just what kind of, chemistry the two people had, unspoken chemistry. And when she and Richard got on screen together, he said, and he just turned off the sound, he was like, oh my God, that was that's something special. And so they got the two of them together after they read and after they did the show, after they were shooting, I guess after the first few days, Richard walked up to Gary and said, you could just put my suit in a hanger next to her and it would be just as effective because she's that special
mm-hmm.
and that, luminous and no one's looking at me. And Gary's like, no, you make it. He goes, no, it's okay. I don't mind. She's amazing. And that was the truth. Gary told a lot of stories about how he got that performance out of her. There's three ones that I remember specifically. The first was that when they were doing the, she was dressed up, and they were doing the scene in the restaurant where she's eating snails, where she's eating escargot.
Oh yeah.
And he had the prop people, oil up the escargot, like really oil it up so it was impossibly slippery and no way to be able to hold it, which is why she had that amazing laugh when she got
mm-hmm.
embarrassed that she couldn't do it and it flew out of her hands, right? He shot the other part with the maitre d' like watching the escargot go flying up and past his face. He shot that later, but he shot that first part with her, like just put the camera on her and didn't tell her what was going on. And it was, just, hey, I want you to pick this up and shot that a few times and she could get a hold of it and it made her laugh and then just cut that into it. And he did that a lot throughout the movie to get that kind of luminous, amazing response and that laugh and that kind of joy that she had. That was unfettered. Another time when the scene where he proposes that she stays for the week and he says, I'll pay you this amount of money for the week. And she's
mm-hmm.
in the bathtub and she's listening to her headphones. And what Gary arranged is that he told her, like, after he tells you this, to slip under the water, just giggle and kind of fall under the water and just be so excited in the bubble bath. when she did that, he told everybody, as soon as she puts her head into the water, everybody leave the stage. So he kept the camera rolling. Everybody left. There's nobody behind the camera. There's nobody laughing. And she laughs again. She gets that really big laugh. And again, that's on camera and completely spontaneous and completely like her in that moment. He was like brilliant about stuff like that. He was just
really, really great. He was. When they said he passed away, I mean, with all the good actors and singers from the last year that passed away, I'm like, okay, this is not funny. No, Gary Marshall is not dead. This is a hoax. Because every other week, you know, we hear Betty White is gone.
Yeah, last year was
like,
a rough year for celebrities.
And, you know, for YouTube, we're gone growing pains.
I got my agent, it's very funny, I got my agent out of that. I did the episode of Growing Pains, and it was originally a little bit more, I think the character I played was a little bit wilder, and they kind of toned me down during the course of the week, although I still had that very long earring, which I regret ever having worn. But the Tracy Gold, who was playing the little girl, her father is Harry Gold, who had started an agency, at the time it was kind of a kid's agency, and then about 2 years later, two years later, I was looking for an agent, and I was recommended to him, and we had like just the best meeting, and I'd worked with Tracy prior to that. I'd worked with Tracy, I'd met Harry a number of times. The first time I'd worked with her, I got my SAG card in a movie called Thursday's Child with Rob Lowe. I played Rob Lowe's older brother, and Tracy played his younger sister, and she was maybe 5 at the time. So I had met Tracy when she was first starting out, then I met her again during Growing Pains, and then I ended up hiring father as my agent. I ended up going to her wedding. You know, she was she's been a big part of my life. Their family's been a big part of my life. They're great people, really, really lovely people. In fact, his other daughter, Brandy, is an agent at his agency now, and she's my rep. So it's all in the family.
Okay.
Never did that show.
Okay, off air, yes. Off air, I'm going to email you. I got a question about off air. But, you know, I mean, Alan Thicke, were you, did you work with him?
On that show, and then a few years later, I worked with him on a show called Hope and Gloria, where he played and so we, you know, we got reacquainted doing that show. I did a few episodes of that. He was playing the kind of officious newscast in that show, and so we reconnected on that. He was really kind, very lovely, and he was also, interestingly enough, repped by Harry Gold. So it's a small world. It's a very, very small world.
It is, and you know, it is because I had Alan's ex-wife, Gloria Loring, on twice. Like, after Alan passed, I'm like, you know, I have the interview already, and I'm like, I was scared, actually.
Hey, Carly, will you hold on 1 second? Don't go away.
Yeah.
Carly, sorry about that.
That's okay. But no, you know, I mean, yeah, so I did Gloria Loring, and it was like 2 or 3 months after Alan died, and I was terrified, Larry, because I didn't know if I should go there or not go there, you know, but I did go there, and she was really sweet about it, and, you know, with them being divorced for so many years, you know.
Right.
You know, she was okay, but, you know, for her sons, that's what she was worried about. And when you heard that he passed away, I'm like, no. And I really felt like, you know, 2016, everyone just wanted that year over with. Everyone was
Me too. Oh, my God.
Waiting because
rough.
It's this one. You know, and for you, I mean, since you've been on, like, every show, and you have, I mean, you know, I mean, you have been on, you know, Melrose Place and Murphy Brown and Harry and the Hendersons, the TV show, right? Not the movie? Cause there was You were in Harry and the Hendersons. But were you in the movie or were you in the TV show?
No,
because
no, just the television show, just an episode of the television show with John. It wasn't John Lithgow, no.
Well, you would be really good with that. And
you know
what struck me was, you know, you have been a concert working actor since 83, and then you did my favorite TV show. I was so happy with you. You were on Friends.
I got to tell you.
Yeah, I've seen it like 5 times that you've been on. And so,
I was almost on Friends a couple of times. I did, it's a funny, I'll, this will be my last story because I got to actually have to go do an audition. But I got an episode of Friends. The episode that I got, in the episode that I was in originally, I played a veterinarian with another actor. We played these co-veterinarians who kind of have a thing with the girls. And George Clooney and Noah Wiley were playing, were also in the episode. It was the time when it was the week. It was the week that ER Friends was the number one and number two show. And in the first draft of the script, George and Noah played a bickering gay couple who lived upstairs. And
oh,
in
I
the
love
show,
that.
They were at a party and they were bickering. It was terrible. The execs came to see it and they just were like, oh my God, what are you doing? You can't have them. These heartthrobs who are on another show, be on this show and have this. And they were just, you know, just very upset about it. So they ended up taking my role and the other actor's role. And I got a phone call, you know, from Marta Kaufman, who could not have been nicer, the originator creator. And she said, look, we're going to let you go. Because we have to replace you guys with George and Noah. And I was like, oh, you're kidding me. So I was actually working on another show coming up, and I was on the lot and getting a costume fitting, and I ran into George and I said, really? You already have a television show. Do you have to like take my job as a guest star as well? You already have your, he goes, Larry, I can't let you work. I just can't let you work. It's just too much competition for me. And so I said, oh, okay, great. So, cause I'd known him for years. And Marta had said, look, we will write something else for you. I said, well, that's very kind. So about 2 weeks later, I get a phone call. Hey, they've got a part for you on Friends. They've written it for you and great. That's fantastic. So I show up for this for the table read. And I hadn't read the script ahead of time. I had to kind of really rush through the script and read it really fast before the table read. I sat down. I did the reading. The character was a guy who shows up for Courtney Cox at the door of the apartment. And she's like, who are you? And he goes, well, I thought this was, you know, another girl's residence. And I guess she gave me the wrong phone number and wrong address. And it's Valentine's Day. And I'm like, and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. He goes, yeah, I've got two tickets to a show tonight, and can you, you know, look, can we make the best of it? You want to come with me on, you know, if you're not doing anything for Valentine's Day, why don't we have a date, and we'll go see, you know, the show, and maybe we can do it. And she's like, oh, you know, that's a wonderful idea. So that evening we go out and we go to the show, and it's. I can't remember I'm blanking on the name of the show. We go to see it, and we're sitting in the front receipts, and it's been a nice evening, and the show starts, and as soon as the show starts, I start singing along with the show. Evidently, I've seen the show 150 times. I know all the words to all the songs, and I'm singing along with the show and in full voice. And Courtney's like, oh, my God, what have I got my into? So that was the original character that I played. We did the table reading, and I tanked. I was terrible. I was terrible. I tanked the table reading. My ex-girlfriend, Jane Sibbett, was on the show playing the wife, the ex-wife of Ross. And so, you know, so it was old home week, and I knew everybody, and I'd already done the show and gotten fired, you know, 2 weeks prior and replaced by George. And it was, you know, it was all very well, but I did not do a good job of the reading. The next day I come in and now I'm a fireman along with the other two actors. And, and a much funnier, I mean, not, I don't know if it's a funnier script, but I'm now one of three actors and we're, you know, doing the fireman bits and stuff like that. So I had a wonderful time and it was a really funny episode, but it was basically the third episode that I sort of almost got. So I've done one that I
can
replace on, one that had been completely rewritten, and one that I got to do. But it was really, really fun.
Okay, I know you have to go, but David, my co-host, once I asked you a question, David, hey, you on?
Hi, David. Hi, David. How you doing?
Good,
I've seen a lot of things. You were great in all of them. Do you have a favorite program that you paid?
Do I have favorite shows right now that I'm watching or favorite shows that I performed in?
Paid in.
Well, I'm paid in, yeah.
Yeah. I would say my favorite shows were – the favorite guest star I ever did was Supernatural because it was a really wonderful experience. So the guys up there were great, and I stayed in touch with them, and we had the best time – the most fun I've had on a set for a long time. One of my favorite shows. I'd say the Friends episode was really, really wonderful. Really a big great episode to do. Fun to do. The Hard Times of R.J. Berger, the series I did, was one of my favorite things. And maybe JAG, along with that, because I made friends with Catherine and had a wonderful time on that as well. Those would be my favorite. Favorite stuff that I did, and then maybe I did a movie called Kissing Miranda, and I got to do it with my girlfriend at the time, so that was kind of special and fun. Those would be my favorites, I think, of the things I've done. Those were them.
What was like beyond Nip Tuck?
I didn't have much. Although my friend Michael Cutlitz and I got to work together.
Yeah.
We'd worked together a number of times. I didn't have that much to do. It was a good job. It was pretty fast. You know, pretty dry and fast. It was fun to hang out with Michael, who we've done a bunch of stuff together. We did a pilot of a show called Standoff. We had done an episode of the show called The Great Frontier, I think it was called. I can't remember. It's been a long time. But a bunch, you know, we'd worked together and our friends, and so it'd been kind of fun to finally get a chance to do something on that as well. But yeah, you know, those are top of this. And guys, I'm so sorry. I have to go. I've got to get back in the car and drive and I've got to try and get another job so you can call me back at another
Larry,
time.
Will you come back?
Interview me.
Will you come back?
Definitely.
There's so much we want to talk to you about. So when you come back, we would love to have you. Right, David?
Absolutely. I'd love to be back on. Thank you so much for
have a great day.
Great to talk to you guys. You guys have a great
day.
Bye-bye.
David, thank you for calling in. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. After this, I have to go to the doctor's. I did something stupid, and I will reveal all at the tomorrow night. And David, why don't you tell everyone what's coming up tomorrow night on Daytime After Dark?
It's our 8th anniversary tomorrow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. Western 6 Central.
Yeah, but it's going to be awesome, you guys.
Yeah.
You guys got to call in. Like David said, you know, 6 p.m. West Coast time, 9 p.m. East Coast time. And I just want to say that I am so proud to be a football fan. I am so proud of what my guys did last week. And, yeah, we lost, but I believe they were all making a statement. And I am proud of everyone. David, how did you feel about that?
Well,
how did you feel about the whole thing?
I have no cable, but got moving, so I'm a little behind. So I know it was controversial. controversy, though, controversy over the image statement. So I'm a behind. I have no cable.
Yeah, when will you get on the cable and everything?
Tomorrow.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. I will have gone crazy, David. But I just want to say, too, that we, you know, people, Florida still needs your help. Texas still needs your help. You know, the Red Cross, you know, $10, that's all. You know, you text it, and we will put more information on our Facebook page about it. But people, please do not forget about Puerto Rico. Please don't, because they are a part of the United States. And, you know, right now I think they were the most hit. And I just hope everyone can find their loved ones. I know that, you know, it's going to take a while for them to come back. It's going to take a while for Florida to come back, Texas to come back. And, you know, this, you know, and something I've learned through, you know, on news the other day, that, you know what, people, you know, after the flood and all this, just remember you need to do a separate insurance for the flood now. So, David, did you know that?
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people in Florida and Texas are finding out that they lost everything and the insurance won't do anything because of this. And so I'm just going to say for everyone, you know, go look at your insurance policy because, you know, it's funny, they sell earthquake insurance here. Which is funny because we haven't had an earthquake in like 7 years, and it was very minor. But they keep saying the big one is coming, and I really don't want to know about it. And yeah, so we are going to go get off for the day. And Bobby.
Yeah.
Bobby.
That's count I had with 12 for tomorrow. That's count I had with 12.
And I love, thank you, Larry, for calling in. You know, wasn't that a fun interview, David? I mean, I'm glad he's coming back because there was so much I wanted to talk to him about.
When you say he was, I recognize the name.
I mean, he's been in everything. So, we are going to end it because I have to go somewhere. I don't want to go somewhere, but I have to. And then tomorrow night, 6 p.m. West Coast, 9 p.m. our 8th anniversary. So, I don't know what's going on. David, Maggie knows what's going on. I don't because I wanted to be surprised.
We got 12 celebrities so far confirmed.
Is going to be a fun night. And so, I don't want to lose my voice for tomorrow night. But, yeah, and Bobby, just remember, you can text Maggie and me about Days of Our Life if you cannot watch it. I'm sure, you know, Maggie's probably going to watch it before I do.
Oh, wow.
So,
what's that? What's it tomorrow?
Okay. Bye, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. See you tomorrow.